Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Aarti Drugs Limited Q2 FY23 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectation of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Adhish Patil, CFO at Aarti Drugs Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Aarti Drugs Limited, I extend a very warm welcome to everyone joining us today to discuss our financial results for the quarter ended September 30th, 2022. On this call, we are joined by Mr. Harshit Savla, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Harit Shah, Whole-time Director of Aarti Drugs, and Mr. Vishwa Savla, Managing Director of Pinnacle Life Science Private Limited, and SGA, our investor relations advisor. I hope everyone had an opportunity to go through the financial results, press release, and investor presentation, which have been uploaded on the stock exchange and on our company's website. In the quarter gone by, the pace of civil construction activity for the Gujarat CapEx has picked up considerably towards the end of Q2 FY23, which remained affected at the beginning due to monsoon season. The company is well on track to make this facility operational by the end of Q1 of FY24. We are resolving few scale-up issues of Tarapur brownfield capacity installed in this financial year, and we expect this facility to start contributing to the top line from H2 FY23 onwards. Apart from this, Tarapur API greenfield capacity is also expected to be completed by the end of FY23. The total CapEx during H1 FY23 stood at rupees 77 crores and is expected to be in the range of 200 crores-300 crores for the entire FY23. Coming to CapEx for formulation segment, expansion at Baddi plant is nearing completion. We are building an oral oncology manufacturing facility. The total planned CapEx, including product development expenses, is budgeted at rupees 55 crores, out of which around 40 crores is done. We expect plant to commence commercial operations in March 2023. At full capacity, the plant can generate revenue of rupees 200 crores. Products manufactured in this site will be majorly new age oncology drugs with patent expiry in coming few years. The business model for the unit will be a mix of contract manufacturing and own portfolio. Coming to our performance during the quarter, the company achieved a healthy top-line growth in spite of geopolitical uncertainties, adverse currency movements across the globe, macroeconomic volatilities, and sustained inflationary pressure on some operating costs such as power and fuel expenses. This growth was led predominantly by higher realizations in API and specialty chemical segment. During Q2 FY23, the company witnessed the highest ever realization in most of the API and specialty chemical products, along with softening of some input costs, barring power and fuel cost. We expect further moderation in the input cost going forward, which can further aid the operating margins. The company's operating costs were marginally up during the quarter due to increased power and fuel cost and one-time arrears paid to the employees and labor contractors. Finance cost also inched up higher due to higher interest rates and increased working capital requirements due to higher inventory. With respect to our performance across our segments for the quarter, API segment, the largest segment of the company in terms of revenue contribution, grew 17% YOY. As stated earlier, the growth was mainly driven by an increase in selling price with an 11% volume growth in exports market and marginal volume growth in domestic market. We anticipate a healthy growth for this segment along with a sustainable increase in profitability on the back of operating leverage, ongoing capex, backward integration and falling raw material prices. Revenue from the formulation segment stood up at rupees 82.5 crores for the quarter, up 9% YoY. The formulation segment's share of the total revenue for the quarter was around 12%. The formulation segment's core focus area continued to remain exports. During the quarter, exports contributed around 44% of the total revenue. Now coming to specialty chemicals, intermediates and others. This segment continued to remain the fastest growing segment of the company. The growth in this segment is mainly driven by capacity augmentation along with presence in niche product category of chlorosulfonation and few other contract manufacturing products. We expect the growth to remain in upward trajectory over the next few quarters for this segment. Coming to overall standalone performance for the quarter, standalone revenues for Q2 FY23 stood at rupees 624.9 crores as against 511.6 crores, showing a growth of 22% on YoY basis. The standalone business contributed around 88% to the consolidated revenue for the market. For the quarter. Approximately 62% of the revenues came from domestic market and approximately 38% from the export market for Q2 FY23 for a standalone business. Domestic revenue grew approximately by 19%, while exports grew by around 28% year-on-year basis for Q2 FY23. Within the API segment, the antibiotic therapeutic category contributed around 44%, antidiabetic around 17%, antiprotozoal around 16%, anti-inflammatory around 10%, antifungal around 8%, and the rest contributed around 5% to total API sales for Q2 FY23. Going ahead, we remain confident of continuing our growth trajectory driven by capacity expansion through a combination of brownfield and greenfield capex in API and formulation segments and sustained momentum in our specialty chemical segment. The profitability and return ratios are also expected to improve in tandem owing to operating leverage and backward integration. The company will continue to explore various opportunities in terms of new therapy additions and geographic expansion. With this, we can now begin the question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rashmi Sandhiketi from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity.
I'm sorry to interrupt. If you can take the phone off speaker, please. There's a lot of disturbance coming from your line.
Hello, am I audible now?
Yes, ma'am. You can please proceed.
Yeah. So, my first question is that, you know, that higher realization in the API and the specialty chemical segment, and then we are also talking about moderation in the KSM. We are still seeing a quarter-on-quarter drop in the gross margins. So any specific reason behind that, any kind of forex loss or any other reason, you know, for such a drop?
Yeah, actually, for few of the KSMs, the market had been very volatile from January till date. And the thing is, based on this macro situations, we had piled up inventories also. So in some cases, we had purchased at a very high rate. If we see the ongoing negotiations, means for the raw material and selling prices for few products, we can easily see, you know, 3 to 4% better margins. But then when it comes to taking the inventory loss on the accounting part, it is coming down. That is the main reason why still we are not able to show it in the results.
Okay. And there is no forex loss element, right?
Forex loss notionally is around 2 crores. So not much.
Not much. Okay. And so earlier in last quarter, we said that, from the second quarter onwards, we will be seeing improvement in the operating margin from the second quarter. I think it was more or less similar to the first quarter only. And our first half EBITDA margin is around 10.8% now. In the second half, how do you see this operating margin and gross margin going forward? And for the full year, if you can give any direction or any guidance on it.
Okay. So, the September quarter versus June quarter, in the API segments, the EBITDA margin improved from 10% to 11.2%, though on console level, as you correctly pointed out, it has remained same. Due to formulation segment had performed much better in the June quarter as compared to September quarter. That is why on the console level, the EBITDA margins still came the same. However, the improvement in the standalone EBITDA margin was also attributed to more efficiency in the manufacturing expenses rather than the gross contribution. So the manufacturing expenses, anyways, we feel we might improve a bit further too, but the main area for us is to improve the gross contribution, and we think it will improve with the stability in the price movements. If the volatility goes away, the margins should improve considerably. And going forward, we at least expect around couple of percent improvement going forward, and it will keep improving. Means if the scenario becomes stable, once all the inventory losses goes away, then the margin should improve. So by the end, we should try to, by the end, means Q4, we should try to hit EBITDA margins upwards of 15%.
Okay, got it. That is helpful. And on your formulation business, if I see that in this quarter also, we have done only 9% growth. Despite we have done majority of the exports in the formulation business, still, it is not contributing big to the EBITDA. So, any comments on that?
Yeah, Vishwa, can you please answer this question?
See, last quarter we had a much better EBITDA. So, some of our high value, high margin exports, we were not able to execute in the current quarter, due to which the margins were low. However, we would be able to execute those orders in the coming two quarters. So on a year-on-year basis, we do expect the margins to recover and the EBITDA margins to improve once we execute our higher margin orders.
Okay. And my last question is on metformin. If you could update on, how the price is moving for the metformin in rest of the market as well as in the domestic market, whether the prices are going up or it is coming down. And also, if you can update on your additional capacity, any new production from that additional capacity for metformin has started. What is the current total capacity installed now and how much is the utilization rate?
Yeah, I will answer your second question first. So last quarter we have done very good sales for metformin. So our average capacity is around 1150 to 1200 tons per month. And we were able to achieve somewhere around 1000 tons per month of sale for the last quarter, that is. And okay, regarding price movements, I will ask Harin Pai to answer that question.
Yeah, the price of major raw material DCDA, which is a major raw material for metformin, has come down quarter to quarter. So it, at the peak of the beginning of the year, it was around $4,000 to $4,500. So now it has come down to less than $3,000. So we expect price to stabilize around these levels, and then price of metformin also will stabilize. So this two quarters we price keep on reducing and we had a lot of inventory loss of because of that. But now things are stabilized more or less. Yeah.
Okay, understood. I have more questions. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Ranveer Singh from Edelweiss Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hello.
So please proceed with your question.
Yeah, thank you for my question. One thing, you commented the EBITDA margin of 15%. So this is overall EBITDA margin you are talking about or only API part you said? And secondly, you can continue and we'll have another question. Yeah.
Okay. So on an overall basis, but also on the API side, because almost standalone business is contributing around 88% to the total revenues. So more or less it will go hand in hand. Consolidated.
Okay. Yeah, fine. So in this quarter, whether we have any contribution from intermediate facility, any new projects we are working on?
I didn't understand the question.
That new projects were supposed to intermediate facility was supposed to start contribution from this quarter.
Okay, understood. Yeah. So correct. So that brownfield expansion, what we had done in Tarapur for a specialty chemicals, we were still not able to fully ramp up the capacities. You can say almost 30 out of 400 we have not 30 around 60 out of 400 we have achieved. By November we will be achieving upwards of 150 out of 400 tons per month. There are a few issues related to scale-up batches, but we know how to resolve them. Just that we are waiting for few equipments to come in, and then we'll be ramping up the production. And as far as the consumption norms are concerned, we feel that we will be surpassing our previous norms, because earlier we used to do a batch manufacturing process, and now we are doing we will be doing continuous manufacturing for that particular product with different ROAs. So our RMC will also become better for that product.
So for FY24 perspective, can we expect meaningful revenue coming from this?
So this full scale potential for this facility will be anywhere between 90 to 105 crores, like that.
Okay. And that should be achieved by which year?
Because this is a specialty chemical and we have been dealing in this, we will try our best to ramp up as soon as possible. So by the end of next year, hopefully, we should be occupying it fully by the end of next financial year. But how much time it will take, we also are not very clear on that. Will come for the next entire year.
Okay, and any update on that Glyptin facility we are working on?
Yeah, so there we have taken commercial batches. We have started selling our product in the market, so that means the quality acceptance is there. And now we are working on the reduction of cost. And there are a few intermediates also on which we are working. So we'll be handing over the process to a few of our exclusive job work manufacturers for those intermediates, and that will help us to reduce the cost and become even more competitive. So though top line it will start contributing, but bottom line I should say it will take at least two quarters to start contributing meaningfully.
Okay, fine. And if in API in overall perspective, your commentary said that inventory purchased earlier is still with you. So when that inventory is likely to exhaust, so in FY, in Q4, you said that improvement will happen. So this is based on the new price negotiation you have started.
If everything is stable, remains stable, by next quarter it should be over. I mean, by this next quarter means Q3.
Okay. So from Q3 onwards, some improvements would start. Visible there. Okay. Okay, fine. That's it from my side. And all the best. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Priya Harwani from Perpetuity Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Please proceed.
Fortunately, so I just wanted to cross-check the number of capex mentioned in the commentary. So can you repeat that?
Yeah, we said that around 77 has been done for this year, and but we hope you know that it will go around 200 to 300 for this entire year, because what has happened is we have ordered a lot of equipment for two of our greenfield projects. So when you order, typically you give around 15 to 20% advance. But when the delivery will come in, at that time, you know, the outflow will be higher. So we expect that second half capex outflow will be much higher than the first half of the FY23.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Parth Vasani from TK Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Actually, I have a couple of questions. First one would be, how much revenue can we expect from the recently commissioned capex for the entire FY23?
The thing is, based on So you are asking how much is the total revenue potential of the existing capacities, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So we haven't. So based on the last quarter prices, we can do upwards of 3,000 turnover, even for the standalone company itself. So around upwards of 3,000 crore. For standalone company, and then you can add another 300 for formulation. So that will be a full scale potential for existing capacities. But then there are more capacities which are coming up in Q4 and then Q1 of next financial year.
Okay. That was helpful. Second, I wanted to ask that in the press release, you have mentioned about the increased requirement for working capital. So can you explain the reason for the same?
Yeah. So the thing is, our inventory has gone up, no doubt about that. So that is why we have reduced our production a little bit. But till September, we have gone we didn't reduce on the production, even though demand for few of the antibiotics was little less in the domestic market. On the export side, we had seen good demand, but for the domestic market, the demand was little subdued. And usually monsoon season, the demand is more. So we kept on producing. So that is the reason why the inventory was piled up a little bit. And also because the macro factors were, you know, because of this war scenario and everything, it was quite unclear. So we did not want to lose on production, so that is why we kept on producing. But now going forward, I think by reducing for some of the products, we might bring down the inventory, and then the working capital will be freed up again.
Okay, got it. That was it from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Rashmi Sancheti from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. Just one question on Cryptines, which we have started last year, last quarter four. Where are we in terms of both Teneligliptin and Vildagliptin, and have you started any exports for the gliptins?
Harish, would you like to answer this question?
Yeah.
So generally, we are more or less quite production is stable. Our cost efficiency has improved, and we are working on making intermediate ourselves. So we are already going to get market. We are improving our market share in domestic market, and export for this product is not substantial. So, but we are concentrating getting more and more Indian market by another 1 or 2 quarters. And about Vildagliptin, we have just started export marketing and started submitting samples and validation batches, etc. So most probably another 2 quarters, Vildagliptin will be able to export more volumes. Yeah.
Okay. And sir, if you all can update on on the specialty chemical greenfield plant, where are we currently? Are we on track to start the production at the end of FY23?
For the greenfield plant of specialty chemicals, that is for backward integration, which we are doing in Gujarat, the estimated start commissioning of the production is commissioning of the equipment and the trials would be taken in the towards the end of first quarter of FY24. That is the June quarter.
Okay. Thank you.
And
That's it from my side.
the Tarapur greenfield one, we are expecting to start by March.
So Tarapur greenfield one, the chlorosulfonation.
No,
Chloros.
there are two. So there are three. Means there are two greenfield projects which are going on. One is specialty chemicals at Gujarat. That is a greenfield. There is a second derma project, greenfield project, which is going on in Tarapur. And the third was the brownfield expansion of specialty chemicals in Tarapur,
Correct.
which is already done.
Okay. And the specialty chemical, the chlorosulfonation one, and the entire specialty chemical that is in Gujarat, which you are saying.
So there were little changes there. So the chlorosulfonation one, which we were planning to start at Gujarat, so it was a 10 times scale up from our existing batch manufacturing process. So initially what we had done, we have done a brownfield expansion in Tarapur itself with 5 times scale up, not the 10 times, five times scale up. The ultimate plan is to shift the entire production to Gujarat. But the current Gujarat expansion, which is going on, that is more on other intermediates, not the chlorosulfonation.
But maybe after 1 year or something, this chlorosulfonation, which the where you have started the brownfield, will get shifted to ultimately to the Gujarat greenfield specialty chemical plant, right?
So that, yeah, and that will be the second site. Means the current greenfield site, which is going on, that is different, and this will be the additional greenfield site which we'll be putting in Gujarat.
Understood. That would be the new lines, basically.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for the clarity. That's it from my side.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Priyanka Shah from Adidhan Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. So can you bifurcate CapEx for API and specialty chemicals for FY23 for 200 to 300 crore CapEx?
So on a broader scale, some of it, say around 40-50 would be the brownfield and your maintenance-related CapEx. But the majority of it can be, I mean, it is almost 50-50 at Tarapur greenfield and Gujarat greenfield projects.
Okay, sir. And what is the current capacity utilization for API and specialty chemicals?
So current would be somewhere in mid-70s only as of now.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ranvir Singh from Edelweiss Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the follow-up.
Sir, can you take the phone off speaker, please? Your audio is a bit muffled.
Yeah. Hello. It's better now? Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you for follow-up. Just on the CapEx side, you said
in first half, how much capex we have spent and how much remains to be spent in second half of FY23?
Yes. So the first half we have done almost 77, and by the end of the year we expect it to remain between 200 to 300. Now the reason we are giving such a broad range is because if you know it might just go in April, so that is why I'm giving a range of 200 to 300 crore for the entire year.
Okay. So of that 600 crore total capex, we are midway by FY23.
Yes. So the two greenfield projects with almost 350 crores kind of capex that will be completed by you can say June of 2023, June quarter of June month of 2023. Most of the means capex, which is like 350 crores assigned to these two greenfield projects, will be completed.
And remaining would be in 24.
It will start in in FY24.
By end of FY24, yeah. Okay. Backward integration side. Right now, because for last few quarters we have been talking that we are working more on backward integration side. So any new development you could highlight that we have achieved in this first half of FY23 on integration front?
Yeah, so that plant will be completed by around May or June in 2023. That is the first quarter of next financial year. So after that, we will start, utilizing the production from that intermediate facility.
And this is related to which product?
This will be broadly related to anti-diabetic and other product, anti-protocol.
Okay. And projects are under that PLI scheme. So what is development there for DCDA?
No, DCD we are not going ahead as of now. DCD product we are not doing. We are including that.
Okay, so that project has been cancelled.
No, actually DCD project we never announced. PLI scheme, there was another project for anti-protozoal. We are doing it, but we are not going for PLI scheme. Means reason being the capex which we had committed earlier that got reduced substantially, means almost by 50%, and we approached government that whether it will be okay for them, but they said that you have to do the committed capex to be eligible to get that benefit. So we decided that rather than spending that much, we will spend less upfront and still implement the capacity. But we are doing that project, but we are not going in means we are giving up that PLI benefit because we are getting everything upfront in capex.
Okay, fine. And the API related to skin, that dermatology segment, I think that was import substitute. So have you seen any competition there or pricing, because we are a little delayed there? So
As of now there is no substantial domestic competition for that. So the only competition will be from China.
Okay. Thank you, Alice. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh from Marcellus. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello sir. With the chloroporo project moving to Tarapur, what exactly greenfield expansion are we doing in Gujarat facility?
Yeah, so greenfield, that is, we are doing few special sort of intermediates, you can say, on specialty side. And it is also will serve as a backward integration for our other main products.
Okay.
Chlorosulfonation will be putting in the second site of Gujarat.
Okay. And for the current Gujarat facility, how much are we doing the capex?
So that would be roughly be around, 150 to 200 crores.
Okay. Okay. And this facility is likely to come in production in Q1 FY24.
Correct. By the end of that, yeah. By the end of that quarter.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Niharika from Equitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, good afternoon. So I think you mentioned that volume growth has been flat in domestic market and I think some 10 to 11% growth in export market. So with all the API capex that is coming into picture, how are we planning to like ramp up? Like how are we, where are we seeing the market for it, export or domestic? Because I see the domestic is still flat.
Yeah. So the capex also which we have planned, that is for additional products. So there will be the new things right now. So basically the market will be new for that. And for the current means you can say 20-25% underutilized capacity for few of the existing API products, we have the visibility, means the domestic market will pick up. One is that. And secondly, there are a lot of small export geographies, you can say, for each product, a bit of it is left out. And also, we are having a lot of European focus. So, and to update on that, recently means in this week itself, one of the facilities of Tarapur, that the E22 facility, we just had an EDQM inspection. That is the European authority. It was quite good. So the report will come out in a few days, and then probably we will give a press release on that as well. So European markets, and there are a lot of other geographies where we can increase the sale.
Okay, and for the new greenfield Tarapur facility, are we also going for any US FDA approval? The new facility which is coming, are we also planning to go for?
No, the greenfield. But for the existing anti-diabetic facility, which we will be expanding further in next year, there we are planning to get an US FDA approval, and that is a dedicated plant. The current one was a multi-purpose plant.
Okay. And on the Gujarat greenfield, you said that it is majorly for backward integration. So it ideally would just reduce my operating cost and add to, basically, this is 100% for captive consumption. Or are we also going to sell it to outside parties as well?
It is both. It is a mix of both. So the thing is, the entire capex plan which we had of that 550 crores, the external revenue potential was somewhere between 1500 to 1600 crores. But sorry, the actual revenue potential from those funds, but the external revenue potential was only around 1200 crores. So rest was the captive part.
Okay. So 200. So percentage wise, if I see, so some 60-70% would be captive, and rest would be.
Okay. So if you are asking only of the Gujarat facility,
then
what you say is correct.
Okay. And my last question would be on inventory. So inventory is still on a very higher side, and is it majorly the finished goods that is held up in our stock, or is it also the raw material? Because I think raw material we were shedding off in last quarter as well. So this 500 odd crores inventory, does it constitute majorly of finished goods or?
Yeah. So what has happened that in last quarter, our production was very high. In fact, we had a 10% volume growth in terms of production as well for the last quarter. So the whatever raw material inventory pileup was there, we have now, by the end of last quarter, we have now converted it to finished goods. But now we will start selling that.
But are we taking inventory loss on the finished goods that is in the stock, or are we, will we be able to make any margins on this? Because I think this is by using the high price raw material.
So as of now, for the finished goods, there was no inventory loss. But because we follow that FIFO method for raw material costing, so the higher value raw materials have been accounted in the this September quarter. But as you correctly say, that you know this the newer stock will have little less RMC because of the falling raw material prices. But then there will be some impact in December quarter as well because of this.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. That was it for my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditi Sawant from ADM Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I have one question. Of the total exports and formulation, can you please share how much is for developed markets and how much is for emerging markets?
Yeah, Vishwa, can you please answer this?
Yeah. See, as of now, majority of it is for emerging markets because in regulated markets, we are yet to receive our approvals and registration since the last 2 years or 2.5 years, we've been majorly focusing on regulated markets. So most of our regulated market filings are either in pipeline or under approval stage. So as of now, majority of the revenue is coming from emerging markets.
Okay. Thank you. That was helpful. That's it from my side and all the best for the upcoming quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Isha Savla from Arya Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to ask a few questions. So first of all, I would like to understand that we've witnessed highest ever prices for API products. So my question is that do we expect the realizations to fall as the input costs have started to come off?
Yeah, it will happen slowly because that is true. Because most of the time API prices follows the input prices. So because across the board, slowly the raw material prices will start going down. The API prices will come up slowly.
Okay. What kind of time lag do you expect
it will depend on how much order book you have piled up, but typically 1 to 2 months, you can see.
Understand. And secondly, how much is the current differential between domestic and export API prices?
Okay, so again, product to product it is different, but definitely the export prices are higher. In some cases, it is a lot higher than the domestic prices. But there also in exports also, it depends on which geographies you are selling. So the Indian subcontinent like Pakistan, Bangladesh, and so on, there the prices will be very low or few emerging markets of Southeast Asia. But otherwise, in other geographies, the prices are much higher than domestic market.
Okay.
So it's very difficult for me to quantify. I'm not able to quantify that.
The next question I just wanted to check that are we planning to diversify specialty chemical business away from our fluorosulfonation products with the ongoing capex?
Yeah, so we are definitely doing more on the specialty chemical side. Other than chlorosulfonation also, we are expanding in other lines as well. We are also doing few contract manufacturing projects with bigger MNCs in this field. And the Gujarat facility will also, add new products in the specialty chemicals line.
All right. This is very helpful. Thank you for answering all my questions.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Gagan Tareja from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Mr. Tareja, if you can speak a little loud.
Yeah, is this better?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me now? Yeah. So the first question is on the margins. Throughout the last 12-15 months, not just RP but all API companies have struggled with margin contraction. The reasons given out largely centered around high input prices and difficulty in passing the input prices on completely. Also, there were freight and utility price increases. Now, RM prices are softening, and you yourself indicated that in a couple of months, finished good prices will also sort of fall in line. So, I mean, if that is the case, then, what are your levers for margin expansion? You're saying that you probably intend to exit the final quarter of this year at 15%. How will that, happen if your output prices also fall in line with input?
As I was explaining earlier, you correctly pointed out that utility prices have also gone up. Apart from gross contribution, other major impact which API players are facing as compared to last financial year, especially for the first half, that is because of the coal prices. So the prices have more than doubled, and they have remained like that for a long period. We hope that to come down. And what has happened indirectly because of this very high coal prices, now the power rates have also gone up because of thermal power stations, because they also rely on coal. So there also, because of that also, manufacturing utility cost has gone up quite considerably for manufacturing companies, I would say. And as far as this gross contribution is concerned, as I was explaining, the negotiations which are happening, say if you take any particular month, the margin seem looks higher. But the problem is, in the uncertain scenario of last 9 months, what has happened that you end up booking a lot of raw material at a higher price, and the sales order comes, you can say more or less it is spread out every month. So sometimes there is a problem, in terms of you might end up booking a high price raw material, and then the prices start falling in. So once this volatility goes away, what we are trying to point out is that even if volatility goes away, the margin should expand once all these inventory losses are taken care of.
But are you saying that the expansion from 10% margin to a 15% margin, that's very significant?
So API already we are 11.2 right now.
Correct. It would still mean another 400 basis points.
Yes.
But is that all down to simply the lead and lag between, you holding out higher cost inventory and RM prices pushing down, and therefore you booking inventory loss? Is that the only reason why your margins have sort of, if I look at a longer term trend for R3, the 4-5 year average margins would be around the 15% mark, and if I go back further into the past, probably still higher. If one keeps that sort of a perspective in mind, I understand, short term there is volatility and there are business cycles. But if it hits you so much and so badly,
there is one more factor. Regarding ammonia related products, I think Harit Bhai will be better able to explain you that.
Overall, because of gas shortage, Russian Ukraine war, the price of ammonia is almost 3 times of 1 year back, and we don't see any correction in immediate future because of supplies of gas from Russia. So fertilizer plants in across the Europe almost are affected. So they would rather put their energy into electricity than making fertilizer, So that's the scene. But otherwise, all other chemical prices are coming down, except one or two stray cases. But overall situation looks good now.
And the same products are available at much cheaper rates in China. So the Chinese manufacturer, which is our main competition with a lot of products, so they are having that price advantage in terms of raw material rates, and that is also one of the reasons for some few products or margin getting squeezed.
Okay, I would have thought normally that whatever you indicated on ammonia prices and utility, you know, you essentially just pass on the absolute cost increase. You don't get to retain the same percentage margin, right? If your costs have gone up by, let's say, on a base of 100 by 20, you pass on 20. You don't pass on the margin on that, right?
What you say is correct, absolutely correct in terms of short term, because in short term means within a year, API players look only at the, you can say, the value addition per kg. But in longer run, means, you know, when you close down a financial area, when you see the returns, you know, then ultimately for any business or any competitors as well, margins are very important. So that is the time when margins again start getting back to normal. So what I'm trying to say is, suppose you're making 200 rupees on a 2000 rupees product, then, and 100 rupees product, even 20 rupees is okay for you. So basically margins are important, what I'm trying to say. Otherwise what will happen, you know, even for a 10,000 rupee product, if an API player starts expecting only 200 rupees, then margins will go for a toss. So ultimately it will come back to margins in longer run.
Okay. But are you seeing the, you know, your competitors sort of also not, you know, trying to break the market up for volumes, and therefore, you know, your expectation that
It might happen because if suddenly demand goes down, or everyone was expecting higher, you can say, demand, and everyone has produced a lot of quantities, and suddenly the demand goes down, everyone is losing that way.
In your assessment, is the inventory in the supply chain, I mean, I don't know how one gets the handle on that. We don't have any ways to do that. But would you believe that the inventory situation in the channel is normal, and therefore, you know, such issues may not arise going ahead?
So, based on the feedback which we get from the market, I think the orders should start coming back. I think Harit bhai can better respond.
Yeah, overall pharmaceutical demand was less in first two quarters, and there was a lot of inventory. But now inventory things are back to normal, but we expect demand to go up. People have started moving out, and COVID related issues are no more there. So we expect demand to go back to normal before COVID levels, at least. Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, if you look at the Chinese situation, there's a new Omicron variant, and there's another set of rolling lockdowns happening in China again. You sort of are saying that if things remain stable going ahead, there's scope for margin improvement. But if things are the way they are in China, the supply chain will probably, get disrupted once more. And there's already, as you indicated, a gas and ammonia disruption based out of Europe. So do you really see any stability in the supply chain coming in the next two quarters? Because I would have thought, you know, we are up for another wave of difficult Chinese supply chain.
Yeah. So what you say is, Kasim, we feel that if any additional negative impact comes up in terms of macro factors, then definitely situation might remain same, because that is the exact reason why, you know, the margins are lower even now. Last financial year also, the margins were quite low during the first half of the year. And then in December quarter, the margins had gone up to 14-15% in December 21. And then again, this war thing happened, and again it got squeezed down. So the thing is, if further negative factors happen, then definitely means no one can help. But assuming that things will stabilize here on, because we have seen some correction in the raw material prices also. So if we assume that things will stabilize, then definitely our margins should start expanding.
Finally, to what degree are you backward integrated in your current sales, and post Gujarat, to what you know, to what degree does that increase?
So, after Gujarat, another, you can say, 10-12% of our finished sale will be further backward integrated, you can say. But other than that, for most of the products, we are more backward integrated than our Indian counterparts in most of the cases. And that is the reason why we have an edge over Indian manufacturers. But definitely, even as when it comes to Chinese manufacturers, we have captured a lot of their market share in Southeast Asian markets as well. But only because the few things about ammonia, in that has affected only Indian players and not the Chinese players. So there, you know, it is slight out of our hand. Though, even though our efficiencies might be at par with them or even better, but then because of that in raw material pricing disparity, they are having some advantage over there. But in that case, we are approaching government for anti-dumping duty because the Chinese manufacturers are getting undue advantage. So, yeah, let's see how things pan out. But we are quite confident that means it should improve. Means how fast it will improve, we should see now.
And finally, sir, I gather one of your peers is backward integrating into DCDA. I mean, this is something that, you know, almost all API manufacturers buy out of China. Do you, I mean, if that is the case, do you see, you know, this sort of this initiative on their behalf sort of causing market ripples and there will be a market share movement based out of, you know, their competencies which they get from backward integration?
Yeah, definitely it will help anyone who starts manufacturing DCD, especially a metformin player. But it's quite tricky product and the chemistry is quite hazardous. So let's see, because a lot of people have tried that project in past as well, but haven't gone ahead.
But you do not consider it a project?
We will. Means obviously we have to keep an eye on that. Because otherwise we might have to go in-house, because we ourselves will be having, which we are wanting to have almost 3,000 tons per month production of metformin. So it's quite a lot.
Thanks. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Niharika from Equitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, just one or two follow-up questions. I just want to understand how are our long-term supply contracts structured, and also, like, I want to understand long-term contracts from buyer's perspective as well as supplier's perspective. Basically, okay. Is there any, like, is it fixed or any escalation clause to report?
Okay. Haribe, would you like to answer this question?
Sorry, I didn't get the question.
I just want to understand how are our long-term supply contracts structured, and also how, like, as a buyer and as a supplier, how are our contracts structured?
Normally, we have volume contracts and prices. Due to volatile situation, we have decided to offer quarterly pricing only, and quantity is a fix, volumes are fixed. But and based on this quarterly raw material pricing situation, we change our pricing for finished product for long-term contracts.
And is it linked to any say particular commodity, say ammonia?
Yeah. So for each product has a different. We are making 20 bulk drugs, more than 20 bulk drugs, but made 80% of volumes comes from 20. So in that, each product has different raw material situation. Raw materials.
So we are linking it to some raw material pricing.
Yeah, and some raw materials.
There's a volatility that is
correct.
And also, so my second question is, considering Aarti Drugs has, like, in few APIs, we are the largest players in like domestic and in some globally. So what kind of pricing power do we hold? Because still we are not able to pass it on fully. So why don't we have that kind of a pricing power? Because API is a very essential item.
The issue is the pricing are so volatile. You know, every month the price variation is as high, some products is as high as 8-10%. So how do we control that basically? But now things are better and we expect price, if prices are stable, then we will definitely go back to our normal margins. Yeah.
So I'm just trying to understand why aren't we able to take the price hike, because if there's some other competitor which is taking our share, or because without API even the other chain player cannot work. So then why cannot we have that kind of a pricing power? Is there some competition which we are seeing?
No, the thing is we are taking price hikes, so that is the reason why in those September quarters selling prices are at maximum. But the thing is, the price hikes, while taking the price hikes, it needs to be a gradual process, because if we suddenly increase the price, generally a formulator will try to look for other sources. And if someone else is having inventory during that period of low cost, then they will offer them. Then you might end up losing those orders in that particular quarter, say. But next quarter again, both the competitors will come at a level playing field, and then the prices will go up. So these things happen on a temporary basis,
okay,
but like that.
Okay. Fine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participant, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Adesh Patil for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us today on this earnings call. We appreciate your interest in Aarti Drugs Limited. If you have any further queries, please contact us or SGA, our investor relations advisor. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Aarti Drugs Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.